Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and it can be found on page 1032 in the Church Bible. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boats. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell to Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to God's word this morning, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. We ask that you would help us this morning to be like the crowd, wanting to get close to you, to hear your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I've already mentioned, it's the summer holidays and we're into our summer sermon series, which I've called Journeying with Jesus. Now, you might like to think of it like the talks in the series as being like looking through holiday photos, so traveling with Jesus to different locations. So if that image works for you, last week Karen showed us the photo of Jesus at a wedding, and this week we've got the photo of Jesus going fishing. So we've got six talks that are a bit like looking through holiday photos. So today it's going fishing. And Jesus is standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, which is a Greek expression for the Sea of Galilee. And people are crowding around him to listen to the word of God. Now, I thought it might be helpful to have a visual illustration to help us appreciate some of the detail we have here in Luke this morning. So I need some volunteers. And all you're going to have to do is take great big steps towards me. But I'll explain when you stick up your hand and volunteer. Great. Thank you, Sarah. You might be my only volunteer. If anyone else wants to join Sarah, just be great. Thanks, Sam. So I need you to stand in a line here. If you stand in like facing this way, a line here. Great. Are you okay to stand next to Sarah? Brilliant. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read again the first three verses of Luke chapter 5. And every time there's a new sentence, I want you to take a big step towards me. And I'll try and do a big pause to help you out. So every time there's a new sentence, a big step towards me. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Great, you can go and find your seats now. Thank you very much. So as these guys crowded around me, what did I have to do? I had to take a step back, or a little jump in the end. And that's what Jesus has to do in our reading this morning. He's standing by the Sea of Galilee. And so the best way for him to take a step back as the crowd come towards him is to ask Simon if he can row his boat out a little way from the shore. And the reason I thought it would be helpful to have a visual illustration is because Luke has very carefully written what we have in Luke chapter 5. He's very carefully written these verses to convey the sense of people crowding around Jesus. So we don't get so much in our English translations, but the break in the Greek text are meant to convey that sense of crowding in on Jesus. Often this passage is described as the miraculous catch of fish. And we will get to the fish in just a moment. Some of you will have seen there are some fish around church this morning. But I do want us just to notice the crowd crowding around Jesus, how people were crowding around Jesus. And why were they crowding around Jesus? They're crowding around Jesus to listen to him, to listen to the word of God. Last year, I was involved in organising an event at the church I was at then, and partly because it was actually well attended, and partly because tea and coffee was being served on the way in, creating something of a bottleneck. That was bad organisation. There ended up being quite a long queue out of the church door. The small crowd of people queuing to get into church took those who, like me, arriving at the last minute by surprise. They expect that they could turn up and walk into church, and instead they had to join this, what was really quite a big crowd. And it attracted the attention of passers-by. When we see people queuing, or when we see a crowd, we, or at least I do, wonder what I'm missing out on, what's going on over there, what's happening. Something exciting must be going on. And this challenges me. How hungry am I for God's word? When I'm walking from the rectory to church this morning, it was actually a kind of gallop up the hill because I was a bit late. But when I'm walking from the rectory to the church, would an onlooker pick up a sense, not of me being in a rush, but of eagerness of someone who's about to gather with the family of God, that's all of you, to worship God and to hear his life-giving and sustaining word? Would that be what someone looking at me picks up in my posture as I come to worship on a Sunday morning? That eagerness, that crowding in on Jesus to listen to his word. We'll come back to the crowd later on. So Jesus speaks from the boat to the crowd on the shore, and when he's finished speaking, he says to Simon to row out further and let the nets down for a catch. So I'd like to invite you just for a moment to imagine that you're Simon. So you're Simon, you're a fisherman, that's your job, you know all about fishing. The reason you fish at night is because the nets that you use, they're made of white linen, and during the daytime, the fish can see the net. Jesus, who's not a fisherman, says to you in the daytime, let's go fishing. I wonder if we can have a show of hands. Who, you're Simon, the fisherman, expert in fishing. Jesus, not an expert in fishing, tells you in the middle of the day to let down your nets. Who would put their nets down? Who thinks Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about? I think I've illustrated the point. Simon kind of does both. He tells Jesus they've worked hard all night and they haven't caught anything, but he also does what Jesus says. I'd say the sense here is I'll do it, but I don't think we'll catch any fish. He questions, yet obeys. Now, I know we're in Elmden Park and not a boat on the Sea of Galilee, but as we're in our series on Journeying with Jesus, we're looking at our holiday photo of going fishing. I'm going to invite us to live that experience this morning. And I'm afraid it's a volunteer thing again. Would anyone be willing to volunteer to go fishing, to go looking for some fish in Elmden Church this morning? Anyone doesn't? Anne's going to go fishing. It's probably going to need all of you, I'm afraid. So what you need to do is you need to cast your nets. Now, you're going to cast your nets. This is the boat, and this is the Sea of Galilee in Elmden Church this morning. So cast your nets and see how many fish you can find. So everyone, if you have a look around, and then bring them to me at the front. So, yeah, the sea is here. So Anne, you're in the sea. So collect up your fish and then bring them to me at the front. So Lydia, you might need to run around collecting all the fish that people are finding in the sea. So I'm the net's kind of here. So if you bring them to me, oh, that's fine. It's taking you a very long while, given that it's the middle of the day and there are no fish in the sea. What's happening?
Well, there's just loads, isn't there?
There's just loads! You can keep fishing. I'm going to keep going with my talk. I'm going to run out of hands in a minute. So, how many have we found? Have we found any fish? Who'd like to have a guess how many fish we've found? One? 10? Oh, you've got some more. Loads! They don't teach you in theological college how to hold 75 fish and deliver a sermon. So back to imagining you're Simon. You're a fisherman. You've fished all night and caught nothing. And then someone who's not a fisherman tells you to put your nets out in the daytime. And you catch so many fish that the nets begin to break. And you need extra help and the boats begin to sink. How would you feel? Surprised? Relieved, fishing is your trade, it's good to catch, it's economically good to catch lots of fish. Embarrassed for not thinking you'd catch anything. Luke tells us that James and John, who were in the second boat, they were astonished. And that Simon Peter cries out that he is a sinner. I think that's quite a curious response. It's a moment of revelation. Not that Simon has done something terrible or is somehow worse than everybody else, but a moment of realization of his humanity and Jesus's divinity. Simon and his friends are encountering the holiness of God. It's the realization that God, who is the creator of all things, has been at work in their lives. In the lives of ordinary fishermen, bringing transformation. And this is just the beginning of the extraordinary things God will do through ordinary people. Simon has responded to Jesus. He's repented and believed. And now Jesus commissions him. From now on, verse 10, you will fish for people. The ordinary casting of nets and catching of fish has become a metaphor for sharing the gospel and seeing people come to faith. Our reading began with a crowd of people eager to hear the word of God. Crowd of people. Then there was a crowd of fish, as Jesus is at work in extraordinary ways in the lives of some ordinary fishermen. It's a crowd of people, crowd of fish. And whilst we might remember the story as the miraculous catch of fish, our reading actually ends with neither the crowd of people nor the crowd of fish, but with Simon, James and John pulling up their boats and leaving everything to follow Jesus. The crowd, the fish, who really the fish are economically valuable, they've become insignificant compared to the call to follow Jesus. The disciples' ordinary lives are totally transformed by their relationship with Jesus. And so as we think about what it means to journey with Jesus, I'd like to invite us to consider how Jesus makes a difference in our ordinary, everyday lives. Not just our Sunday life, but our Monday to Saturday lives. And how we can make a difference for Jesus. What we see in Luke 5 is ordinary fishermen in their place of work. They're washing their nets, which is what they had to do when they came in from a night of fishing. Ordinary fishermen in their place of work being transformed by their relationship with Jesus. So I think this is really encouraging. God calls each one of us, whatever our experience or our skills, wherever we spend our time, at home, at work, caring for someone, to follow him with our whole lives. God calls each one of us. But it's also a challenge. God calls each one of us to follow him. I think it can be easy to say, I'm too ordinary, or I'm not good enough, or I'm weak. There are even tasks that I look at sometimes, I think, no, that's for someone else. That's not for me. But Luke reminds us that Jesus is in the business of doing extraordinary things through ordinary people. And so to help us think about how God is at work through the ordinary tasks we do each day, where we spend our time each week, we're going to finish this morning with a slot that I'm hoping will become regular in our services called This Time Tomorrow. And the way This Time Tomorrow works is I invite someone up, different person each time. And this morning, Graham's said he's happy to go first. And I asked them four questions about where they will be this time tomorrow. And the idea is that maybe each month or so we'll hear from someone different, doing something different, and be encouraged by how we can live for God in our Monday to Saturday lives. And so, Graham, if you're happy to come and join me, we have a little bit of an interview here.
Hello.
So, this is Graham.
Hello.
So, Graham, where will you be this time tomorrow? I think we're about 10:59.
Okay, so, I mean, normally, if you were to ask me this, I would be at work. But obviously, it's holiday time. I'm a school teacher. So, this time tomorrow, I will be at home with family, having family time, maybe doing a bit of, you know, DIY or home improvement, maybe spending a bit of time, you know, with Elizabeth and with the girls. Yeah. You will. She will. She will have been swimming. She will have been swimming already and come back home by this time tomorrow.
So. Okay, so you've told us what you do there. What are your challenges and joys? And you might want to answer this for work time and holiday time.
Okay, so for work time, the challenges are the workload. It's very busy, very fast. Everything has to happen really, really quickly. You don't get much chance of a break. Another challenge, as you know, working in the state school sector, is as a Christian wanting to tell people about my faith, but also knowing that there's very clear lines. You know, people know that I'm a Christian. People know that I'm heavily involved in church, but I don't feel able to say as much as I would like sometimes, and knowing quite how much I can say. Mm. And for holiday time,
maybe that's a joyous one.
It is a joyous one, but the girls are actually really hard work sometimes. I'll be completely honest. a lot of people here have had children this age and know that it's really... And actually, I come home from work and find them difficult. And Elizabeth says to me, well, now you know what it's like. I've got this all day, every day. but yeah, it is absolute joy being with them.
Great. And final question, how can we pray for you?
How can you... Well, obviously, I've already mentioned this about being able to share my faith at work and knowing exactly where the boundaries are and what's going to be considered appropriate and what's not. For home life, it's praying that we both will bring the girls up in a way that means that they will love Jesus, mm-hmm. because we really want them to become Christians like we are. They already do profess faith, but obviously there's a long way to go.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Graham. So there you go. That's what a This Time Tomorrow slot looks like. Graham gave us some things that we can pray for him. And I'm hoping that maybe once a month or so we'll hear from someone different, doing something different, and that it will be an encouragement to us. And so in just a moment, I might actually get someone to help me gather the fish up here. And I'm going to find somewhere to put them, probably on this table here. And it might be that when you come up for communion this morning, you might like to then take a fish back with you as a reminder of how God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. So do be thinking about where you're going to be this week and how God might want to use you and how you might make a difference for Jesus in this place. And do take a fish with you when you come up for communion. Amen.